This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, brothers, sisters, boys and girls, welcome to another episode discussing the Asma's Sifat of Allah.
Welcome, everybody. I hope you're having a great summer.
You can talk to that camera.
Welcome, everybody. I hope you're having a great summer.
Or you can just lean in. Hey, people.
I wanted to say, I hope you're having a great summer, just to date this this video, so that a person is watching it in the winter, they'll be like, oh.
Well, you know, we're in Houston. It's perpetually summer.
Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
So we're now, inshallah ta'ala, jumping right into the name Al-Qarib.
Qarib?
Like Al-Qarib. Near. Yep.
Okay.
Al-Qarib meaning the near, for sure.
Qarib. Ba 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 ba.
And again, now we've entered into the world where there's no particular verse where Allah calls himself Al-Qarib. It's not as clean cut as, for example, all of the names that come at the end of Surah Al-Hashr. Hu Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa hu.
So this is one of those other disputed names.
Yeah.
Got it.
For sure. So Al-Qarib. So Qarib, where is it taken from? Allah calls himself Qarib for sure in the Quran many different times.
Yeah.
That he is Qarib, that he is near. Of them, and this verse definitely deserves some reflection and thought, and I hope that all of you have heard this before. If not, it's going to blow your mind. And that is, you know, right in the middle of the verses talking about fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah talks about... Exactly. Good. So he talks about fasting, talks about Ramadan being legislated to you and the people before you. And then at the beginning of the next page, Allah talks about more rulings of fasting. But right at the end of that page, that first page talking about fasting in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, if my slaves ask you concerning me, I am near.
He cuts out the conversation and just comes in.
أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ. I respond to the caller of the one who calls upon me when they call, so let them respond to me and believe in me, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, that they may believe in me, that they may be rightly guided.
Yep.
Now, the scholars, they looked and they said, hey, hold on a second. This is really interesting because there are lots of different questions that are posed to the Prophet ﷺ that Allah answers in the Quran. And Allah always uses a particular format in answering those questions that he doesn't use in this verse. What do I mean? Every time the Prophet ﷺ is asked and Allah answers in the Quran, he says, they are asking you about such and such.
قل.
Say to them. قل. He says, يسألونك عن الروح. They ask you about الروح. Say, الروح من أمر ربي. قل, الروح من أمر ربي. Tell them. يسألونك عن الأهلة. قل هي مواقيت للناس والحج. They ask you about the new crescent moons.
Yeah.
Tell them that it is for the keeping of time and for Hajj.
Yeah.
Lots of different verses. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, يسألونك عن الخمر والميسر. قل فيهما إثم كبير ومنافع للناس. He says, they ask you about wine and gambling. Tell them that they have great sin in them. So it's always say, or they're asking about this, say.
Yep.
The Prophet ﷺ is always the intermediary in between, except in this verse where he says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي, when my slaves ask you about me, he doesn't say قُل, he says, I am near. Even the Prophet ﷺ is removed when it comes to you speaking to Allah Azza wa Jalla. I am near, I respond to your call. So he says, so let them respond to me then. Allah is saying, he will respond to you. So let them respond to me and believe in me, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, that they may be guided. You know,
what's interesting is the following verse is about Hajj.
The next verse is actually still talking about Siyam. أُحِلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامِ الرَّفَثُ بَيْنَ نِسَائِكُمْ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says,
but then it just flows right into Hajj, right?
It does, in a little bit. You're very right. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he says, but how is that interesting? You said that's interesting.
The thing is, you're talking about the five pillars of Islam, of being Muslim.
Yeah.
Right? You know, somebody who declares their faith, testifies, they establish their prayer, they pay the zakat, they fast. Right? But as you're doing these things, and the fasting factor is what's really bringing about taqwa. Right? But when you really come close to Allah, think about it. Culturally, I don't know if it's common among the Arab or even among Sudanese or whatnot, but in the Desi culture, there's this thing that, okay, you don't go for Hajj until you have accumulated so many sins that you have to go for Hajj. Right?
Which nowadays means about 14 years old. 14, we need these 15-year-olds to go
as
for Hajj.
As soon as you become accountable for your deeds, bam, within the first year. I mean? Oh, man. But it's like, I just kind of found it annoying because I went for Hajj for the first time about a decade ago, and 2006, as of, so it's 2016. So, and I remember some of the people.
But you know the reason for that also, sorry not to cut you off, is.
I've done it so many times. What are you saying?
Hajj is, for, you're talking about, if you're talking about before 60, 70 years, it was a difficult journey.
Well, back then it was, but I'm just saying like in the last 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
Ever since the invention of the airplane.
Yeah, not everybody, still not everybody goes by plane, you know that, to Hajj.
Yeah.
Yeah, some people go by boat, some people go by, and by boat I mean by ship. Yeah.
Because really?
It's still a cheaper option than plane for lots of people.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So for
there's actually a port there of people arriving off of the bus.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yo, that.
Jeddah is a port city.
That is a sight to see then.
Yeah, Jeddah's a port city. They go with their sheep and they go with everything that they're gonna they're traveling with it. It's like Hajj.
Oh wow. But I was thinking okay, maybe in certain third world countries.
Maybe going with the sheep thing recently they probably stopped doing that. But yeah.
But the thing is what irked me was that you have these people who are educated of money and everything, and it's like, oh, what's the problem? You committed so many sins, you gotta go now. And I'm like, why don't you go? Your house is paid off.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, like I'm not ready. I'm like,
yeah. Yeah. It is cultural. Obviously, they would delay Hajj until they get older. And part of it was because the journey was so arduous. You're talking about 1,000 years of people. They would wait. It's a 6-month journey or even more and going and coming back.
Would you come back?
And people may not even come back. So when they would go for Hajj, they would see you off like you were never coming back. And a lot of people didn't. So they would live their lives fully until they go for Hajj. Yeah. So Al-Qarib, a couple of quick meanings with regards to Al-Qarib. But the first one, obviously, is Allah's nearness to you in the sense that He's aware of everything that you do. He's right there by your side. He's close to you. All of the things that you are going through, Allah Azza wa Jal is aware. And hence, Ali ibn Abi Talib was asked, what is the distance between the heavens and the earth? Ali ibn Abi Talib, what is the distance between the heavens and the earth? He said, the distance of the heavens and the earth is an answered prayer.
Oh, wow. Okay.
That is deep.
That's very deep.
Yeah. He said, the distance between the heavens and the earth is an answered prayer. That is how much is between the heavens and the earth. So Allah Azza wa Jal commands for us to believe in Him and respond to Him. Another meaning of Al-Qarib is His nearness to the one who repents. You don't have to knock on a lot of doors to get forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal. It's so accessible.
Is this the only incident in which it's mentioned in the Quran?
Qarib? No.
Okay.
Allah Azza wa Jal mentions it a lot of times. In another verse, He says, فَاسْتَغْفِرُوهُ ثُمَّ تُوبُ إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبٌ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, but it's in this context, so seek forgiveness from Him and repent to Him. My Lord is Qareeb, He is near, and He is Mujib. He is Mujib, someone who responds.
Okay.
So the Prophet, so Allah Azza wa Jal is mentioning that Allah Azza wa Jal is near and close to the one who seeks His forgiveness. Also, Allah Azza wa Jal is also close with His support and His victory. You know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a beautiful hadith.
Al-Fattah.
Yeah.
As Al-Fattah.
You know, it's always near. It's never this thing where the victory of Allah Azza wa Jal is so distant. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Allah laughs at the despair of His slave, even though His help is so close. Like a person is just, they're overwhelmed and they're about to lose it. They're about to, and Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Allah Azza wa Jal laughs at that. Because His help is right around the corner. It's so close. So one of the companions, he said, Ya Rasulullah, does our Lord laugh? And he said, yes. So he said, if that's the case, then we will never stop seeking good from a Lord that laughs.
That was so astonishing to them that they would...
That their Lord laughs. Like, what do you mean? Okay. It's just something that if you didn't know that about Allah, you would never... That Allah laughs. And then he said, then we will never stop expecting good from a Lord that laughs.
Mm.
Like that's the lesson, that if our Lord laughs, then we're always going to, no matter how difficult it gets, we're going to be good. And so Allah's victory and Allah's support and His help is always very near. And His care is always very near. The last meaning of Qareeb that I want to mention here is just feeling that Allah Azza wa Jalla is close to you.
Okay.
That Allah Azza wa Jalla is near to you.
How's that different from the others?
Conversing with Allah Azza wa Jalla, not just in the sense
as
of
a friend.
Yeah.
Okay.
As yes, that Allah Azza wa Jalla is close to you. You can reach out to Him. You can speak to Him. A lot of times, you know, our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla is just one of request, not necessarily one of conversation.
Got it.
Not one of, you know, complaint. When we want to vent, you ever vent to Allah Azza wa Jalla? Like that's the talking to Allah Azza wa Jalla, communicating to Him your hopes and desires and wants and wishes. And
it's interesting because that could be a very therapeutic and reflective activity. And I'm just remembering the famous poet and poem of Iqbal, who basically wrote a famous poem called Shikwa.
Jawabi Shikwa.
And Jawabi Shikwa. Just basically the whole poem is him complaining to Allah.
Yeah.
And then he wrote a follow-up with what would Allah's response potentially be. And it's funny because a lot of people actually said he's not Muslim anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, you're supposed to... Like, and apparently that is...
Because he attributed speech to Allah Azza wa Jalla, like he's saying this is what Allah said.
Yeah. But, I mean... But just the act of, like, him expressing the very sentiments that a community of Muslims were feeling.
Yeah.
And I just remember because my dad was a big fan of it because my dad's name is Iqbal too. I don't know if that... I'm sure there's some level of affinity there. But just the idea that, look, what the people before you earned is what they earned. What have you done?
Yeah. Yeah, تلك أمة قد خلت لها ما كسبت ولكم ما كسبتم. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, you know, this notion of al-qarib has so many different connotations, but really it's, you know, the presence of, again, some of these names are similar, you know, they create similar sentiments, but al-qarib is the one who's near. He's always present with you. He's always looking out for you. You can always talk to him. You can always make requests. He's never distant. And in fact, even when I talk to him,
yeah,
I don't need to raise my voice. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ, you know, the Sahaba one time, even the takbirs that they were making, they were traveling with the Prophet ﷺ and they were making takbirs and tahleels and they were making it loud. And the Prophet ﷺ was saying to them, calm down. The Lord that you're, you know, He's not far or distant, He's close. And so even being soft-spoken and you're conversing with Allah.
It reminds me when I was first learning Tajweed, my teacher, Faraz Khan, I remember we were going over the ayat of Ali Imran,
yeah,
like 189 to like 195. And so within that, there's a whole series where the Rabbana innaka man tudkhilin nar faqad akhzayta wa ma lil zalimin min ansar, right? But one of the mistakes that everybody in the circles who go, Rabbana, is like, no, Allah's not that far.
Yeah, just like calm down.
Yeah, it's just like, it's Rabbana, just Rabbana.
Yeah.
No, Rabbana.
It's a beautiful attribute. We ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to grant us the ability to understand it and live according to it.
And what's interesting is even with Wissam, when going over those very verses, he's explaining how when you're calling upon Allah and the portion of that becomes dua, it's Rabbana, right? But the part that's conversation, when the believer says Subhanak, so the verse starts with ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك فقنا عذاب النار ربنا إنك من تدخل النار فقد أخزيته وما للظالمين من أنصار. Like that is still conversation. You're still talking, like the person is talking. It's like as if he's talking to Allah, he's having this realization and having like this creation is. And verses before that, ويتفكرون في خلق السماوات والأرض
ربنا ما خلقت هذا باطلا سبحانك. Yeah.
And so it's just like, it's just a conversation and that intimacy is like, you don't have to. And when he said, it's Rabbana.
Yeah. Beautiful. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. Okay. So let's end here. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.